Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nazir is Lamed Aleph. We start now the fifth parak of the Masecht. We thank the Lupin Foundation for the sponsorship of the daf. As long as Zechon Ishmael Saliba, Gabriela Bashmuel. Obviously, today we start with the Mishnah, Beishame Omrim. Hektesh Oz Hektesh. So Beishame makes states his position, and it's not the first time in Shas we've heard this position. Actually, from the beginning of Brachos, maybe. But he says this a number of times throughout Shas, and that is that if you declare something to be Hektesh, and even though you made a mistake. Now, I'm going to be clear later on this morning whether, in terms of the grammar that I'm saying, either you made a mistake or you're going to make a mistake. You'll see that will become a big theme later on this morning, but for the time being, Hektesh Toast, if you declare something to belong to Hektesh and you made a mistake and you were Toeh, so according to Beit Shammai, Hektesh, it belongs to Hektesh. So it's a really a radical position of Beit Shammai. Radical, I mean, you know, Beit Shammai's positions are normally not accepted, but over here, very difficult to understand, where if you declare something to be Hektesh and you were mistaken, in other words, and we'll go over exactly what are the examples of what the mistakes were, but according to Beit Shammai, if you made a mistake, it's nevertheless going to belong to Hektesh. That's the Shitas Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel Omer remain Hektesh, and Beit Hillel says, no, if you made a mistake, in other words, you were under false premises, so it doesn't belong to Hektesh. The only thing that belongs to Hektesh is where you intentionally declare something to belong to Hektesh. Now, mind you, by the way, we're discussing in the context of Nazirus. So we'll talk in the course of today, tomorrow, we'll talk about this concept in the context of Nazirus, because really, I mean, that's what we're learning right now. We're learning the Masecht of Nazir. So obviously, this Machlokus is going to play out in the world of Nazir. But first things first, the Mishnah is going to give us some very simple examples over here of the Machlokus between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So for example, so Ketzad, what are examples of this Machlokus? So Amar Shur Shachar Shiyatsami Beiso Rishon. So Harehu Ektesh. So the person makes the following declaration. Now, I'm going to read the Mishnah right now on the simplest level, meaning the way the Mishnah certainly seems to indicate, and the Gemara is going to really turn the Mishnah around. But let's just read the Mishnah Kipshuto. So let's say, for example, Shur Shachur Shiyatsami Beis Rishon Harehu Ektesh. The first black ox that comes out of my house is going to belong to Ektesh. V'yatsa Lavan. And instead of a black one coming out of his house, a white one comes out of his house. If you will, I'm sure a number of you already conjured up this image, but basically, if you could think of Yiftach, right? Yiftach basically comes back from victorious from war, and he's so happy, and he wants to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, the first thing that comes out of my house. Now, it happens to be the first thing that came out of his house was his daughter. Basically, in the same construct, our Mishnah is basically giving a similar scenario, where basically he said, and over here, it's even more of a toast, because he actually was clear. He says, Shur Shachur Shiyatsami Beiso. The first black ox that comes out of my house.
Yeah, the first black ox, is it? Come at my house first. He didn't put the first with the ox.
Okay,
see, that's the difference, I think.
Okay, so okay, later we'll focus more on the wording, but just right now I'm just presenting the Mishnah. So Shur Shachur Shiyatsami Beiso, the first black ox that comes out of my house, Rishon. So Harehu Ektesh belongs to Ektesh. V'yatsa Lavan. And now comes out of his house first is not a black ox but a white one. So Beit Shammai Armim Hektesh. So Beit Shammai says, okay, that's going to belong to Hektesh, even though that was a mistake. Nevertheless, it's going to belong to Hektesh. Beit Hillel Armim Hektesh, and Beit Hillel says, no, it doesn't belong to Hektesh. So again, think about the chiddush of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai really saying something which is very difficult to understand. Meaning, this person was very clear in his stipulation. He said the first black ox that comes out of my house, and meanwhile a white one emerges, and meanwhile Beit Shammai says that one belongs to Hektesh. So it's a big chiddush. It's hard. It's hard to understand. But that's at the face value, that is Shitas Beit Shammai. The Mishnah is going to give us two more examples. Dinar Zav Shi'ala Biyadi Rishon. Person reaches into his pocket and he says, you know, the first gold coin that I take out of my pocket, that's going to belong to Hektesh. So Harehu Hektesh. Va'ala Shel Kesef. Reaches into a pocket, takes out a coin. The coin is silver. And according to Beit Shammai, Beit Shammai Armim Hektesh. He says, okay, I know that's not what you wanted. I know it's not what you intended. You said gold, out comes silver. But Beit Shammai says, okay, but it's going to belong to Hektesh. Because again, Beit Shammai is of the opinion that Hektesh Taos is considered Hektesh. O Beit Hillel Omrim Eino Hektesh. And Beit Hillel says, no, it doesn't belong to Hektesh. The third example of the Mishnah, Chavish Yain Shetala Biyadi. So he's going through barrels and he says, the first barrel of wine that goes into my hand, Rishona Harehi Hektesh. It's going to belong to Hektesh. V'alta Shashemen. And he takes the barrel out, and the barrel turns out not to be wine, but the barrel turns out to be oil. So Beit Shammai Omrim Hektesh ubeitzil omrim eino hektesh. So once again, a third example where Beit Shammai says it belongs to Hektesh and Beit Hillel says it does not belong to Hektesh. Interestingly enough, the Gemara never asks the obvious question over here, and that is why so many examples. Okay, good. You've gone through enough Mishnayos, you learned enough Gemara, you'll know that's typically a standard question. No, it's typically a standard question asked by the Gemara, and interestingly enough, the Gemara does not ask the question of, you know, what's the tzrichusa, what's the need and the necessity to give all three examples. Okay, the Rishonim make suggestions, but in the meantime, however, we're going to be focusing on the basic idea of the Mishnah, and that is that Hektesh Shos is considered Hektesh. In of itself, it's very difficult to understand. Generally speaking, let me frame the question this way. Generally speaking, when we do any type of transaction, and I say I'm selling you this, and meanwhile, it didn't turn out to be that. Okay, and there was a miscommunication between buyer and seller. So generally speaking, what do we say? Mekachtos. Meaning that we say the sale is voided because there was not a clear understanding between buyer and seller. And so whenever we have a mekachtos, we say that the sale is voided. And it's true by transactions, it's true by marriages. We spent a lot of time talking about that earlier in Masechta Yevamos. We talked about Mekach Talos as it relates to marriage. So in other words, anytime there's any kind of miscommunication between buyer and seller, so we say, obviously there wasn't a Gemiras Das, there wasn't an agreement of the mind, and so therefore the sale is voided.
Is that proof by the Dar?
So over here, according to Beit Shammai, so there was the case is very odd. Meaning you made a very clear stipulation that sure shachur sheyatzem mibeis rishon. So you say that, you know, the first black ox that comes out of my house, so that ox is gonna belong to Hektesh. Now comes a white one. There's certainly no agreement of mind between what you said and what happened. And it's really hard to understand, meaning, even though we're going to spend a little bit of time trying to defend the simple Pshat in the Mishnah, but it's really hard to understand that if that's not what you intended, so why should the transaction go through? So again, it's one of those positions where when you first hear, you know, it should strike you as it's an odd position. It's something which is difficult to understand, which is why the rest of today's daf is going to be an attempt to understand the Shita of Beit Shammai. We don't passing like Beit Shammai, we passing like Beit Hillel, but just in terms of a svara, what is going on behind Beit Shammai? So that's what we're going to be spending our day doing today. So we start with the Gemara. Beit Shammai omrim hektesh v'chulei. My time at the Beit Shammai. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's have some sort of explanation behind the position of Beit Shammai. Yalfina tchilas hektesh mitzvah hektesh. So the Gemara says it's yalfusa. They learn it out. And they learn out the beginning of Hektesh with the end of Hektesh. When the Gemara over here mentions the end of Hektesh, the Gemara is making a reference to Temura. So we know this, but let's review. We know that if I have an animal that belongs, that's Hektesh, more than Hektesh, it's a carbon. So I have an animal that has Kedusha Taguf, and I'm looking at the animal, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I want to bring the carbon. I'm all in favor of bringing the carbon, but I don't want to bring this animal. I'd rather another animal. So you go back home and you take the animal that's a carbon. You want to do an exchange. This animal is going to be in place of this animal. So you point now to a second animal. So the Torah says, first of all, don't do that. Lo yimirenu. Torah says that's an issur. You cannot do that. And then the Torah goes on to say, v'im heimir yamir hu usmura so yekodesh. Now, if you do it, the Torah says, so the original animal and the derivative animal are both going to have kedusha. Okay, that's the halacha of Temura. So don't do it. And if you do it, the first animal still remains as Hektesh, and the second animal also is going to be a carbon as well. In the world of Temura, the halacha goes that second animal is going to have Kedusha, even if it wasn't the animal that you thought it was. Even if it was unintended, meaning the Temura was intended, but the recipient animal was not the intended recipient animal. You made a mistake. The halacha is in the world of Temura that nevertheless that second animal is going to have Kedusha. And everybody agrees to that. So Beit Shammai says, okay, at least now we have a starting point. The starting point is that in the world of Temura we know that the second animal is going to have Kedusha even if that wasn't the animal that you thought it was. So Ma Temura afilu b'taos af hektesh. I'm sorry. Ma Temura afilu b'taos af hektesh afilu b'taos. So now the Gemara says, good. Now we understand Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says that's true by Temura. So now, all we're going to do now is just simply take the position which everyone agrees to and just extend it. If it's true by derivative kedusha, it should be true by primary kedusha as well. Meaning that when I'm makdish an animal from the very beginning, meaning the animal was chulin, and then I was makdish it, so according to Beis Shammai, same story. Even though it was done betos, nevertheless it's going to have kedusha. Or Beis Hillel Amrim. Now Beis Hillel will say the following: Hani mila b'tumura. So Beis Hillel says, look, I'm gonna yield to you in terms of the halacha regarding tumura. But to initially put kedusha on an animal that you didn't intend to do so then I'm not going to agree to. Now, the Gemara over here doesn't give any svaras. The Gemara doesn't explain why Beis Hillel makes the distinction between tamura and the original consecration, but the Rush points out that the distinction is it's very intuitive. Meaning, if we're talking about derivative kedusha, so you're already starting from a point of kedusha. So when you're starting from a point of kedusha, and all you're doing now is creating a derivative of that kedusha, so there the derivative of that kedusha can manifest even if it wasn't exactly what you intended. Because the starting point is kedusha. But hatchala, when you're starting from the beginning, you're going from zero to kadosh. So there's got to be an agreement of what you thought and what actually is. Meaning there has to be a gemir zdas, because you're making a full transaction from something which is chulin to something which is hekdesh, as opposed to tamura, you're starting from kadosh. Granted, you're imbuing another animal with kedusha, but the starting point from that is going to be kedusha. You're starting from an animal that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash, to the mizbeach. So therefore, it'll transfer over even if it's done b'tavs. Okay, now. Where we're at right now in the Gemara is really a simple understanding of our Mishnah. The Gemara gives an explanation behind Beit Shammai. Just like in the world of Tamura, we know that if it was done mistakenly, the Tamura is going to take effect. So Beit Shammai says the same thing is true with Haschala. In the beginning as well, it's going to take effect. So the Gemara says a little Beit Shammai. But now, let's take a moment, says the Gemara, and let's think about this a little bit more. Look, in the world of Tamura, what if I make a very clear stipulation? In Tamura, and I say the following: you know, I would like to make an exchange, but right now it's a little after 7 in the morning, and you know what? Not right now. I would like the Tamura to take place midday today. Chatzos, when we get to midday today, so I would like the Tamura to take effect. So mi avi Tamura mi shaita. Now, is Beis Shammai going to tell you that the Tamura takes effect immediately? Obviously not. Meaning he was very clear in what he wanted. What he wanted is the tamur to take effect later today. And we all know, according to everybody, the tamur is going to take effect when you conditionally told it to take effect. So I'm sorry. Mi havi tamur mehi shaita ela adamati chatzei hayom hu dehavi tamura. So we all know that's so. Hachana milchi magle milsa. So over here the Gemara says, if there was gilui das, if the person is revelatory about what he's thinking, you got to follow his thought process. So now let's go back to our Mishnah. Meaning the Gemara is basically saying, I cannot understand our Mishnah. Look what the guy said. The guy said the first black ox that comes out of my house is going to be kadosh. And now it emerges a white one. Like the Gemara says, it can't be. Can't be that the white one that comes out of his house is going to have kedusha when he clearly articulated that it's going to be the first black one that comes out of his house. And furthermore, says the Gemara, look, even in the world of Tamura, which is really the starting point for the whole discussion, even though Tamura is self kedusha, but it's the starting point of the whole discussion. Because in the world of Tamura, yes, I'm going to concede that Hekdesh Betos is considered Hekdesh in the world of Tamura. But if the person's telling you what he wants, you got to listen to what he's saying. All right, the Gemara gives such a simple example. I don't want the kedusha to take effect till noon. You got to listen to him, meaning he's telling you what he wants. So here too in our Mishnah, he's telling you he only wants the black ox to have kedusha. I can't imagine that Beis Shammai is going to tell you, oh, the white one comes out. Oh, good, it's going to have kedusha. It's not what he intended. Okay, it's fine. It's going to have kedusha. Like it can't be. So basically, now the Gemara is going to. Abandon. The Gemara is going to abandon the simple pshat of our Mishnah right now, because the Gemara just cannot entertain this idea that Beit Shammai, under these circumstances, is going to look at the white ox that comes out, even though he stipulated and verbalized that the black ox is going to have kedusha, and somehow the white ox is going to have kedusha. Can't be. So what the Gemara now is going to do is it's going to really, it's really going to abandon the simple pshat of our Mishnah, Amar Rav Papa. So here we now start off with the following. Now, by the way, generally speaking in the Gemara, when the Gemara is abandoning one pshat and moving to another pshat, the Gemara says, Ella, El Amar Rav Papa. Right? So actually, the Rishonim over here bothered, meaning, why doesn't the Gemara include the word Ella? So, so Tosus deals with this. Now, just as a editor's note, editor meaning if you're publishing the Gemara, which, you know, was, you know, that was done about 500 years ago. So anyway, so if you're publishing the Gemara, so editor's note, there's a lot Tosus has to say about today's daf. You're just not going to see it in today's daf. Meaning today's daf is Lamed Aleph. So a lot of the Tosusim find themselves on Lamed Gimel. If you just quickly leaf ahead to Lamed Gimel, so you'll notice, it's hard to miss, you'll notice that there's a lot of Tosus on Amud Aleph, but then when you turn the page, there's even more Tosus on Amud Beis. In fact, there's so much Tosus on Amud Beis is that there's no Gemara. Right? I'm not sure if this happens elsewhere in Shas. Of the 2,700 Dapim in Shas, I think this may be an anomaly, but either way, it's you know, if not an anomaly, certainly a rarity. The point being is that these Tosafim are not all explaining the Gemara on Lamed Gimel. There are all but six lines of Gemara on Lamed Gimel. But a lot of these Tosafim actually are from our daf. And the publisher, again, formatting the Gemara, I'm sure, was a big challenge. Generally speaking, it's formatted beautifully, right? The Gemara in the middle, Rashi and Tosafos basically, you know, fit on both sides. But for the formatting over here, there was just so much Tosafos that the editor just basically took the Tosafim and moved it forward to Lamed Gimel. Okay, editor's note. So a lot of these comments, which I'm commenting from Tosafos, are really all to be found on, most, almost all of them are to be found on Lamed Gimel. Okay, and that's why our Motzei Yom Kippur daf is going to be pretty straightforward. So, but really, okay, now let's go back to the Gemara. Let's get back to our point. We're abandoning now our original Pshat in the Mishnah. We're no longer going with the simple Pshat in our Mishnah. And Ella Amarav Papa. And why doesn't the Gemara say the word Ella? So Tosfos points out, because the first position wasn't taken by anybody. Meaning the only reason why the Gemara needs to say the word Ella is because he says the following Pshat, and we're abandoning his Pshat. But over here, there's no he. Meaning the Gemara just, you know, offered up a simple pshat in the Mishnah, and now Rav Papa is saying, no, that's not right. But he's not contradicting anyone. It's just the Gemara just, you know, giving us its first look at the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Papa, so here we go. Lekach nemar rishon lechishiyetze rishon. So the when he says rishon, he means the first one that comes out. V'ashor shachor kamor, the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to bother you with a small detail, which is not so small, and that is he said the word black. So how could it be that the white one that emerges is going to be kadosh? Milos kin delesle elahai. So the Gemara says, aren't we talking about a scenario where there's one in his house, he's got one white ox, one black ox. He said the first black ox that comes out of his house. And meanwhile, isn't that the Pshat in the Mishnah? And the white one that comes out is going to have Kedusha? Lo. The Gemara says, no, that's not what's going on in the Mishnah. Tzricha deisle train tlasa. So the Gemara says that what he has is, he has two or three black oxen in his house. And basically now what Rav Papa is suggesting is as follows. Here's what's going on. In the Mishnah, the Mishnah that teaches us, the Mishnah that tells us that when his stipulation is Shur Shachor Shietza Mi Beis Rishon Harehu Hektesh, and out comes a white one, so what Rav Papa is now saying is the following: the white one is not imbued with Kedusha. No. Again, I know that's a simple Pshat in the Mishnah, but again, that's exactly the point now. We're abandoning the simple Pshat in the Mishnah. The white one is not going to have Kedusha. And why should it have Kedusha? He said black oxen, or black ox, I should say. So what's happening? So the Gemara now is suggesting that in the Mishnah, there was more than one black ox in his house. Two or three of them, multiple black oxen. And what is happening in the Mishnah is the following. When he says Rishon, he means, I want, of the many black oxen that are in my house, the first one that emerges is going to have Kedusha. That's the Pshat in the Mishnah. And so therefore, what Rav Papa is essentially saying, and this is really turning the Mishnah now on its head, is that according to Beis Shammai, of course Hekdesh Tos is not going to belong to Hekdesh. Meaning if you made a mistake, if you didn't know all the facts and you erred, that's not going to give anything kedusha. All the Mishnah means is that the way, when a person says something which has just but a little bit of ambiguity, so all we're going to do is we're going to basically turn the sentence around so that the sentence is going to be clarified a little bit. But if the person made a mistake, of course it's not going to have kedusha. So the so lo tzricha disle trein tlasa ubeisela omrim imkein shiatsa barisha mi bayalei. So the so according to Beis Hillel, so if that's true, meaning if the ambiguous sentence really meant the first black one that comes out of my house, so according to Beis Hillel, should have been clear about it. Okay, so this is Rav Papa's understanding of our Mishnah, and now what comes out is that we have a totally new pshat in our Mishnah. And what's the problem with this pshat in the Mishnah? It's actually, the problem is very simple. Look at the heading of the Mishnah. Meaning, essentially, what we're saying now is that the Mishnah is not talking about a mistaken hekdesh. The Mishnah is talking about an ambiguous sentence, which is just simply going to be interpreted a little bit differently. If you look at the heading of the Mishnah, how does our Mishnah start off? What the parak start off with? The following words. Beit Sham, I'm looking back at the Mishnah. Beit Shami Omrim Hekdesh Chavos Hekdesh. Meaning, now according to Rav Papa, what do you do with the heading? That's a very strong question. The Gemara doesn't articulate the question exactly that way, but that's difficult. The Gemara is going to ask a series of questions against Rav Papa. Amalei Rav Ami Barnish L'Rav Ashi Hai Hekdesh B'Tauzu Hekdesh B'Kavanu. So the Gemara says first, yeah, Gemara says, you know, this is not a mistake. In other words, he was intentional. I want the first black ox that comes out of my house to have Kedusha. White one comes out, okay, that one's excused. Next one that comes out is going to have Kedusha. When he said first, what did he mean? He meant, I've got two or three of them in my house that are black. The first black one that comes out is going to have Kedusha. That's what he meant. Oh, okay, good. So now what really comes out is that there was no mistake. There was just a little ambiguity in that which he said. All we did was just clarify his statement, but there simply was no mistake. He actually meant, although he wasn't clear about it, that the first black ox that comes out of my house is going to have Kedusha. So what bothers the Gemara is, that's not Hekdesh B'Taos, it's Hekdesh B'Kavana. That's what he wanted. So the Gemara says, Mishim Da Taili Dibure, Kama. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Taos over here is that he misspoke. Meaning, you're right. In terms of his intent, that's exactly what he wanted. In terms of the sentence that came out, poor sentence structure, right? He's not going to get an A in grammar, right? His dictative needs a little bit of help. The toast over here just simply means that his sentence needs a little bit of editing. But really, that's what he wanted. He wanted the first black ox that comes out of his house, not the first ox that comes out of his house. Even though sentence structure, and this is what you mentioned earlier, even though sentence structure could have been interpreted that way, but he did say the word black, so therefore he meant black ox. What did he mean by first? He meant, of the many black ox that's in my house, the first black ox that comes out of my house is going to have Kedusha. So says Rav Papa, is the pshat in our Mishnah, and even though the Mishnah headlines itself with the words taos, taos over here doesn't mean his intent, taos over here just simply means the sentence needs a little bit of help. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So really, according to Rav Papa, a radically new pshat within Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai no longer is talking about Hekdesh B'Taos, he's just talking about a misspoken sense. But the Gemara says, let's consider. We have the following Mishnah. Mishnah Demenazim V'Nishol HaChachamim V'Hitiro. This is the Mishnah coming up at the end of today's daf, but we're going to do this Mishnah tomorrow. Mm-hmm. A person makes a neder that he's going to be a Nazir. And he asks the Chacham a question, V'Hitiro V'Aisel HaBehem HaMufreshes. And now the Chacham gives him a heter. Okay? Classic, standard, She'elas Chacham. And the Chacham says, okay, Mutalach, 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 you're good. Okay, because the Chacham found a Pesach. And already there was a consecration of an animal, or animals, I should say. So what happens to those animals? They get out of jail. They're fine. Meaning the animals no longer have any Kedusha, and they go free. Yeah, right, because what the Chacham basically did is, he just pulled the rug right underneath, and he said, okay, there was no longer Nazirus, there never was Nazirus, and the animals are no longer have Kedusha. So Amr Beis Hillel Beis Shammai Yet Hamodim Shehekdesh Betalos Uvatetz Vatira Be'eder. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, look, I know you agree that this is in fact the halacha. I know you don't dispute it. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, isn't this now checkmate? Meaning, what just happened over here? The animals that were given in a status of karban are no longer have kedusha. Do you know why? So Beis Hillel says, I'll tell you why. Because the Naziris, the original Naziris that was made betos. Therefore, the hektish that was given to this animal was done betos. And Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, and it no longer has kedusha. What are you, Beis Shammai, going to do with this halacha? And we know you agree with this halacha. That's a strong question. And we're interested in the answer, but right now, not right now. What we're interested in right now is that it's clear that according to Beis Shammai, hektish betos is considered hektish. Meaning, somehow Beis Shammai is going to answer that question. And tomorrow we'll see that. But right now, it's pretty clear from the dialogue between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that Beis Shammai subscribed to this idea that even though it was done in error, the Kedusha is still there. So, Michlal Desavri Beis Shammai Hektish Betos have a Hektish. So, good. That's a... And now, it's difficult, because according to Rav Papa, remember, Rav Papa wanted to give a totally new Pshat in our Mishnah, that no, of course Beis Shammai doesn't hold Hektish Betos is considered Hektish. All Beis Shammai is saying is that if there's a sentence with poor grammar, we'll work on that sentence a little bit. Right? If there's a point of ambiguity in the sentence, right, a dangling participle, so we'll work on the grammar. But not to say that if the person made an unintended kedusha, it's going to have kedusha. And meanwhile, what are we going to do with tomorrow's Mishnah? I'm sorry, dekatai. So the Gemara says, well, truth of the matter is Beis Hillel made a mistake. Right here, pun intended. Meaning, Beis Hillel didn't understand Beis Shammai's position. So every time I did Beis Shammai Mishum Dehektish, Betos have a Hektish. They actually Beis Hillel thought the same thing. Also, they also thought that Beis Shammai was operating on this principle that something that was made in error is considered a kadosh. V'amr lohem Beis Shammai la mishum Hektish Betosu el mishum de'atay le'dibure kama. So, and according. But really, the truth of the matter is that according to Beis Shammai, the only thing that was mistaken was the sentence, the grammar. That's the only thing that was mistaken. Okay, so good. So
this grammar
like
Rav Papa.
Again, well, that's what the Gemara is doing now. The Gemara is defending Rav Papa, meaning even Beis Hillel didn't understand Beis Shammai in what Beis Shammai's real shita is. Okay, Gemara continues. V'savri Beis Shammai Hektish Betos Lavei Hektish. The Gemara says, okay, we're gonna go over now another Mishnah. So Tashma, this Mishnah is entertaining. it just is. Hayim Ha'achim Ederech. The Mishnah over here describes the following scenario: six people are walking together. The Echad Ba Kenegdan, and here comes a guy, and he's a guy. So, and now the six people are going to have a conversation about this one guy. Okay, on Erev Yom Kippur, you know, should they be talking about another guy? Should be placing bets on who he is, what he is? Is he a Nazir? Is he not a Nazir? Okay, we've had another version of this kind of episode before. But anyway, they're talking about him. So, the Amar Echad Harini Nazir, Shezeb Ploni, I know that this is so-and-so. Meaning, I could tell the guy's got a. He walks. I'm looking at the way he walks. I'm just looking at the, you know, the body shape. You know, I know he's far away from us right now. Can't really make it out, but I'm telling you, it's so and so. And I'm gonna make a neder to become a nazir because I'm so sure that it's so and so. The echadama harini nazir shein zeploni. And the other guy says, "You got to be kidding me! No, that's not who you think it is." In fact, I'm going to go the other direction. I'm so sure that it's not who you think it is that I'm going to be Nazir because I know it's not who you think it is. So, Harini Nazir, She'echad Mikem Nazir. Now, there's a third person. And the third person says, well, you know, one of you got to be right. Okay? The beauty of a 50-50. Right? Of guys number one and two, one of them is going to be right. Okay, good. So the third guy says, I'm going to be a Nazir because I know one of you is going to be a Nazir. And the fourth guy says, She'ein Echad Mehem Nazir. And the fourth guy says, you know, one of you is not going to be a Nazir. And by the way, he's right as well. One of the first two are not going to be a Nazir. Sheshnechem Nazirim, and there's a fifth guy. It's an entertaining Mishnah. And the fifth guy says, you know, I'm going to be a Nazir based on the fact that the original first two people are going to be Nazirim. Now, that's not possible, because they're not both going to be Nazirim, right? So hold on, wait for the punchline. Shekuchem Nazirim. And then the sixth guy comes along and says, look, I'm going to be Nazir based on the premise that all five of you are going to be Nazirim. Beit Shammai Amrim Kula Nazirim. So the punchline is that according to Beit Shammai, all six of them are going to be a Nazir. Now, V'ahacha Hekdesh Betausu. Now this is Hekdesh Betaus, meaning of course it is. Because the guy's walking down. He's right now not within range where there's clear recognition. And let's look at the first two guys. And the first two guys now are deliberating whether he is so-and-so or not so-and-so. And one of them says yes, and the other one says no, and each one of them makes a Nazir based on their certainty. One of them is wrong. One of them is wrong. It's clear that one of them is wrong. It has to be. One of them is wrong, and Beit Shammai says, I know.
No.
I know. It doesn't matter. They're going to be Nazirim. Okay. Once you make the declaration that a person is going to be a Nazir, and again, now you'll see. This is what I mentioned in the beginning of today's daf. Right? This is, our perek belongs here, Masechta Nazir, because even though it's a larger hektish discussion, but obviously with application to Nazirus. So they're both going to be Nazir. Why? Because Beit Shammai subscribes to the idea that hektish betos is considered hektish. Right. Correct. So you could have said it was conditional, and it's going to be clear from the Gemara's discussion upcoming. It's a good point, but it's going to be clear that this is not conditional, because had it been conditional, we all believe in conditions and stipulating a condition. This is based on the fact that they're making certain assertions that they're sure about, even though they're wrong. And that's exactly the point, according to Beit Shammai. Even though you made an assertion, but if you're wrong, not a condition, an assertion. The first black animal that comes out of my house, out comes a white one. Okay, you were wrong. Beit Shammai says, I know you're wrong. Okay, it doesn't matter. In the world of Hektesh, wrong is right. wrong makes Hektesh. So here too, wrong makes Hektesh. Look, I know, like I said in the beginning of today's daf, Beit Shammai's position is hard to understand. It is. But over here, this is a clear demonstration. This illustration clearly shows that even though the premise of his statement was wrong, still he's going to be a Nazir.
Yeah. Didn't we learn earlier about the silo with the grain?
Right. Correct. So that position would not seem to agree. We don't pass on Beit Shammai. Meaning we don't hold it. This is all Beit Shammai. Today's daf is a discussion of Beit Shammai. It's Torah Lishma. Meaning it's, you know, we don't, this is not a position we take, but we want to understand a little bit better. So Shekulchem Nazirim, Beit Shammai Amrei V'Ketani Kulam Nazirim. So Amrei, so they said, Savri Beit Shammai Hektesh Batos Havei Hektesh. So Hachalo. So the Gemara says, okay, look, here we're going to have to concede. We're going to concede the point. Beit Shammai holds Hektesh Batos is considered Hektesh. Now I know Rav Papa spent half of today's daf trying to argue that he doesn't. But the Gemara says, yeah, but when you look at the Mishnah that's coming up ahead, you have nowhere to turn but to conclude he does. The only point that Rav Papa was making is, from our Mishnah, you don't have to say that. I mean, you could give a different interpretation of our Mishnah. And the interpretation would be that they're poor sentence structure. I will concede, I'll have to concede, that Beit Shammai holds Hektesh Batos is considered Hektesh. All I'm saying now, in the Gemara's explanation of Rav Papa, is that didn't have to say that in our Mishnah. Now again, all this is very really difficult to understand. Now that we finally conceded the point that even Rav Papa is going to agree that Hektesh Batos is considered Hektesh, so why are you so... What's the motivation to give a different shot in our Mishnah? That part's hard to understand. Especially when the heading of our Mishnah is Hektesh Batos Hektesh. It's, admittedly, it's challenging. Let's go on. Let's continue. Abai Amar Lokas Akadacha Dekayim B'Tzafra. So Abai says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm also going to explain our Mishnah, but not the way it was originally presented. How was our Mishnah originally presented? Now, Abaye's not going to say Rav Papa's Pshat in the Mishnah, Abaye's going to say a different Pshat in the Mishnah. And you know that without even reading a stitch more Gemara, because, again, you've been around in the Gemara long enough, you've been learning long enough, so you know just the way the Gemara structures. Abaye Amar. Meaning, whenever you see that Abaye Amar, it means there's a position taken before, Abaye doesn't agree with it. Okay? So Abaye's clearly arguing with Rav Papa. How was the Gemara, how was the Mishnah originally presented? Presents like this. The guy's looking at his house. The event hasn't occurred yet. He made a statement. The statement is that the first black ox that comes out of my house is going to have Kedusha. Out emerges a white one, and that's going to have Kedusha. That's how the Mishnah presents itself. So what Abaye is going to say now is, no, I'm not going to go with that presentation. I don't think that's correct. So, and let's see this in the Gemara. Lo kasakadacha dekam b'tzafra. It's not the pshat where he made the statement in the morning. Morning simply here means before it actually happens. Elahach b'mayskin dekam b'tiara. We're talking about where it's the afternoon. Ve'amar shur shachur shiyatsa mi beisi rishon lehave hakdesh. And they say to him, now he makes the following declaration. You know, this morning, I know there was an ox that walked out of my house. I heard it, right? There was I was in the house, but I heard the hooves from the barn walking out, and you know I know my animals. it was a black one, and you know what? That first black one that already emerged from my house, that's going to have Kedusha. So Amrle love enough. So and they say to him, you know, you're right, except one small detail. It wasn't black; it was white. So he says, oh really? Well, I didn't know that. You know, had it been that I known that it was a white one, so I never would have said black. I thought it was black, but meanwhile I was wrong. So that's the pshat, says Abaye in our Mishnah. And so now what really emerges according to Abaye is as follows. Look, if the event has not occurred yet, and the statement that he made was, I want the first black one to come out of my house to have Kedusha. And it hasn't happened yet. And now now what emerges is a white one. So what Abaye is telling you is, of course it's not going to have Kedusha. He said black. Like, can't be. The pshat in our Mishnah is that the event already occurred, and what he did was he made a mistake in terms of what already transpired. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. Under those circumstances, and only under those circumstances, is Beit Shammai going to say Hekdesh Petosa is considered Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, okay. But again, now we go back to grammar, and the Gemara says, really, all this does not work in the Mishnah. Because if you look at the Mishnah grammatically, the Mishnah is talking about future tense. Look at the next case in the Mishnah. Next case in the Mishnah is, when I take out that gold coin from my pocket, and he says the words, Ya'ala. Okay? You're right. As I professed already a number of times, I don't know a lot of diktuk. I know enough to tell Ya'ala is future tense. Right? Osios Eitan. Okay, I remember a little bit of, you know, a little bit from my school days. So that's future. So Tanisha Allah. So the Gemara says, okay. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to edit the Mishnah a little bit more, and Allah. It already was in my hand, and I only had a glancing look at it. I didn't see it properly. I thought it was gold. That's why I said gold. Meanwhile, it turns out to be silver. Oh, you know what? Had I known it, I would have said it as well. So again, the Gemara says, okay, go to the third case of the Mishnah. Again, grammatically, Tala. That's future. So, Sh'alta. I'm sorry, Tanisha Alta. So the Gemara says, again, you're going to have to do a little bit of editing over there. It really, what it should be is Sh'alta. Adkan, that doesn't take us to the end of today's daf, but that really takes us to the end of the two pshatim within our Mishnah. Okay, so let's just quickly summarize. We'll finish to the Mishnah, but let's just quickly summarize what we have so far. We opened up today the fifth parak of the Masechta, and we talked about Hekdesh Petos. And the way the Mishnah, the simplest pshat that the Mishnah presents itself is that he said the first black ox that emerges out of his house, out emerges a white one. Beit Shammai says that's going to have Kedusha. It's really difficult to understand why that should be. So the Gemara starts off by saying, well, really it's all based on Temura. We know in the world of Temura, even if it was done erroneously, it's going to have Kedusha. So too by Heschalas Kedusha. Also, if done erroneously, it's going to have Kedusha as well. That's the opening of the Mishnah. But what the Gemara now has offered to us is two different explanations of the Mishnah, both of them not working with the simple pshat in the Mishnah. Rav Papa is really a radical interpretation of our Mishnah, because really he abandons the simple pshat in the Mishnah altogether. Meaning, even though he said the first black one, you know which one, which animal is going to have Kedusha? Actually, the first black one. Not the white one that comes out, but the first black one. What does it mean by first black one? So the Gemara says, is that the case in our Mishnah is dealing with where he had multiple black oxen in his house, and all we're going to do is just work on the diktuk of his sentence. He said the first black house that emerges, first black ox that emerges out of my house. What he meant is that I have a lot of black oxen that are in my house. So the first of the black oxen that come out of my house is going to have Kedusha. The white one's not going to have Kedusha. That is Rav Papa's understanding of our Mishnah. Although the Gemara eventually concedes that Beit Shammai does subscribe to this concept of Hekdesh, but does have a Hekdesh. All Rav Papa was saying is you don't have to say that that's the pshat in our Mishnah. Even though in other Mishnayos, it's unavoidable, inescapable. Then the Gemara offers a second pshat within our Mishnah, and that is of Abaye. Abaye works a little bit more with the simple presentation of the Mishnah, but with one notable difference, and that is even though our Mishnah is talking about future tense, really the right way to understand our Mishnah is past tense, meaning the events already transpired. And his mistake was he just didn't know the facts of what happened already. If we're talking about a future event, can't be. Can't be that he says the first black ox that comes out of, that will come out of my house, and meanwhile it turns out to be white, can't be that's going to have Kedusha. He said black. How can the white one have Kedusha? So Abaye says, you're right. The Hekdesh Betos is mistakes over events that already occurred. That's Hekdesh Betos.
But wouldn't Abaye?
No, According to Beis Hillel will tell you, if he was wrong about the facts, even if it was okay with his mistake, the statement that has to be made, there has to be agreement of words and intent. I'm trying to quote the Gemara, right? Pevelev Shaveh. It's not exactly right, but anyway, word and intent have to have agreement.
So he thinks about the future, like about the past.
Hillel doesn't subscribe to any of this. Meaning, according to Beis Hillel, you have to have clear intent of what you're saying. If what you're saying and what you intended is not the same, the statement doesn't have any validity, even in the world of Hektish.
And that becomes
out. Yeah. Okay, let's finish up to the Mishnah. Just a couple of brief words about white oxen and black oxen. Okay, those of you running the farms, you're going to appreciate this. And for the rest of us, just, you know, it's kind of Gemara's, which I'm going to try to remember, but, you know, they just we don't deal with oxen anymore. So, it's just, okay, Amar Rav Chista Uchma Bechivra Lakya. You have a black oxen amongst your a black ox, I should say, amongst your white oxen. It's terrible, terrible. Meaning that the white are great, and a black one amongst the flock is it's no good. It's an inferior type of ox. Chivra beuchma lakya. And another statement to Rav Chista while you're out there on the farm: if you see a white spot in a black ox, so that's also no good. That's such a skin discoloration within a black ox is symptomatic of something being wrong with the animal. Okay. Tanan shachru shiatsa mi beis rishon hektish. So let's take a look now at our Mishnah. So our Mishnah says that the declaration he's making is a black ox. So kasa kadach ki maktish bain ra maktish. And now the assumption going into the Mishnah is the following. When a person dedicates something to Hekdesh, is he being generous or is he being stingy? It's a funny debate. Meaning, somehow, don't we treat this as a case-by-case scenario? Meaning, we all have different personalities. Some of us are generous, some of us are stingy. So, and the Gemari over here speaking in sweeping generalities. Like, you know, people generally are stingy, or people generally are generous. Okay, so, you know, I struggle a little bit with that, meaning how the Gemara speaks in such sweeping generalities, but the Gemara says, look, as a Havamina. The Havamina is that when a person is Makdish, he's doing so by and Ra, Makdish. V'Amri Beit Shammai have a Hektish. And Beit Shammai says it belongs to Hektish. So it sounds like The white one's the better one, right? That's why he's dedicating the black one to go to Velamai buying Yafa Makdish, Dina Shosaf, Shiala Biyadi, Rishon, Vala Kesa, Beshamirim Hekdish. So the Gemara says, okay, but look at the next case of the Mishnah. Gold, silver, we all know that gold is better quality than that of silver. And Beshamir says it belongs to Hekdish. Velamai buying Ra Makdish, Chavish Shayan, Shatala Biyadi, Rishon, Vala Shoshemin, Beshamirim Hekdish, Vashemin Adip Miyayan. Now, I guess we're going per ounce. But oil is a better commodity than that of wine, and so it can't blanketly assume that our Mishnah is going from superior to inferior, because look, the last case of the Mishnah, you're thinking wine, and meanwhile it's oil. Oil's better than wine. So imishem halokasha beglilishanu dechamer adi bimashcha. So the Gemara says, well, look, not as a fundamentalism do we say that oil is better than wine. For example, the Gemara says, let's say you live up in the Galil. Galil, so oil, everyone's got oil up there. So over there, wine actually is a more valued commodity than that of oil. Okay, so Reisha Kashla Rav Chista. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Reisha is difficult. Because again, Rav Chista's statement over here is that when you have a herd of white oxen and then there's a black one there, so then that's no good. Meaning the black one's no good, the white ones are superior. So the Gemara says, "I'm the Charev Chista, ki Amri Betura de Kamanai." So the Gemara says, "Okay, look, I'm making a generality. Okay, generally speaking, the white are better than the black. Correct. But there's a certain species of oxen where the black one is fantastic." And that's what our Mishnah is dealing with. Our Mishnah is dealing with a Tur de Carmenai, okay? Carmen, I guess? I don't know, whatever. Carmeni. So anyway, so it's a particular species, and in that species, the black are the best. So then, what emerges afterwards is a white one. So the guy's like, you know what? Okay, good. Got myself a little bit of break, right? Because I selected the black one. The black one's better, but meanwhile, the white one's better. Our Mishnah is talking about a specific species. So the Gemara says, "Ve'amar chista uchma lamashche." And now, as long as we're giving some trade secrets over here about the oxen world, so we finish off today's daf with some more trade secrets. So uchma lamashche, in terms of the black oxen, they're the best for the leather. In other words, they're good for the hide. Sumka lebisra, in terms of the best eating, so red. Chivre leraja, and in terms of plowing, go for the white. White ones are good for the plowing. V'amrav chista uchma bechivra lakya. So the Gemara says, okay, but this goes against Rav Chista's previous statement, which is that if I have a black one amongst white ones, that's no good. So Kiamri Batur de Kamenai. So again, the Gemara says that we're talking about a particular subspecies. So there it's no good. But the Gemara says, okay, so that's how you'll manage all of Rav Chista's statements together regarding the world of oxen. Okay, we end off today with just some good breeding advice. In Greece. Oh. Okay, very good. All right, tomorrow we start with the Mishnah. It's on the schedule what time we meet. You'll forgive me, I don't know the time off the top of my head. But anyway, we'll meet sometime in the afternoon tomorrow to say the daf.